This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hello and welcome to Savor, production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about gelato.
Yes. Which, pronunciation aside, I'm very excited about. I'm nervous about some of the pronunciation that has to happen. But otherwise, I am a big fan of gelato. I haven't had any in a while, but I remember thinking, like, being, you know, in high school and thinking it was so fancy and so European.
Ooh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I used to have favorite gelato places in France and Belgium when I stayed there, and I just felt like, this is the life.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I haven't spent any time in that part of Europe, so I've never had that gelateria experience, but there's a couple like artisanal gelato places here in Atlanta. I'm very fond of them, and I'm more likely to buy a gelato or a sorbet than I am to buy straight ice cream if I'm going to go for something like that.
Ah, yes, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'd have to think about that. That's giving me like deep thoughts already. Yeah. What would I do? Would I take the ice cream?
I feel like I just caused anxiety. No. No gelato-related anxiety. It's all nice. I mean, this is a very craving-filled episode.
Yes. But. Yes, absolutely. I'm determined to get my hands on some gelato soon.
Mm-hmm.
You can see our ice episode that we did and our Sunday episode. Unless I'm forgetting, we have yet to do ice cream. We did ice cream trucks.
Right.
But not ice cream, I don't think.
I think I keep looking at ice cream, right, and going like, this is too much. I don't want to.
I think we have a whole section of topics that are like that, where we keep saying, one day we'll do that one.
Yep.
Not today.
Someday our avocado will come, but that is not this week.
That one's been like 2 years in the making. Yes.
It's a big topic. It's big, okay.
It is.
We want to do it justice. We don't want any further avocado injustice to be perpetrated by us.
No, not by the Savor team.
No.
That's our other motto. We haven't used it yet, but that one.
Lesser known.
Yes. Lesser known. But okay, today we are talking about gelato.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I suppose we should get to our question.
I suppose.
Gelato.
What is it?
Well, gelato is a type of soft, spoonable, frozen dessert. It's made with milk and or cream, sometimes eggs, definitely sugar, and often various flavorings. Usually it's sweet, as sugar is an important ingredient for texture of the final product, but it can be made on the savory side. Generally speaking, gelato is lighter in mouthfeel than American-style ice creams because it's, right, often made with milk instead of cream, or at least with more milk than cream, and with fewer egg yolks or perhaps no egg yolks, so it doesn't coat your tongue as much. And this can differ with regional gelato specialties. It originated in Italy, and the recipes that come out of the cool and dairy-heavy northern Italy tend to be richer. Weird. Whereas warm climate southern Italian recipes tend to be a little bit lighter. But just as a reference, U.S. food laws put the dairy fat content of ice cream at a minimum of 10%, whereas Italian laws put gelato at a minimum of 3.5%. Though both typically incorporate about twice that amount. That's just a bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. However, gelato often incorporates less air into the mix. So it's simultaneously denser and silkier than ice cream. A key component of ice cream is fine air bubbles that are churned in to increase the volume of the dessert and to give it that nice, light, almost fluffy, and kind of sturdy texture, despite all that heavy cream. In the industry, the amount of volume increase due to air incorporation is called overrun. 20 to 40% is considered low, 40 to 80% is medium, and up to 100%, you can have up to 100%. That's the
Whoa.
High category. Yeah, you can double the volume of your ice cream by churning. Most ice creams are in that mid-range, somewhere around 50%. Gelato, by contrast, is in the low to very low range, sometimes even below 20%. So,
dang.
Mm-hmm. The flavorings involved can be minimal, just custard called crema or sweet cream called a fior de latte, which is a flower of milk, which is real pretty. Yeah. but it can be anything you can imagine. Classics include vanilla, fine ground nuts or nut butters like almond or pistachio or hazelnut, good old chocolate and or chocolate nut combos, sort of like Nutella, coffee or espresso, blended or juiced fruit like quince or orange or berries or figs, candies like nougat or chocolate flakes. But yeah, anything goes. And in researching this one, I just saw any number of completely wild flavors. I mean, you know, you've got your herbs and spices like saffron or sage or chilies or cardamom or juniper or peppercorns. You've got your florals like violet or rose. Various cheeses, you can get some mascarpone in there or ricotta or cheddar. Dessert flavors like malted or cheesecake. You know, all the other fruits and vegetables, avocado or cucumber or beet or rhubarb, boozes like rum or whiskey or wine or sambuca. You can put in some crunchy praline in there or pastry crumbles or swirls of caramel or jam. There have been any number of savory flavors made like wasabi, oyster, horseradish, salmon, bacon, haggis.
Haggis. Oh, no, not that poor creature. Well, speaking of strange flavors, Viagra gelato?
Okay, Annie, I'm not positive that I've ever so resented you putting in just a simple key phrase with a question mark and then a link, because I read Viagra gelato and then... Uh-huh. And then I had to look into it, and I was like, well, what a world we live in. As Ben Bolin would say, what a time to be alive. So I got to the bottom of the Viagra gelato.
Oh, excellent. Please
kind
tell.
Of. 50-50. There have been, over the years, a number of posts around the internet that feature photographs of this bright blue gelato in a serving case, and the label is just Viagra. And where the other labels in the case have, like, if it's like coconut, it'll have like a halved coconut, like you're about to make horse clippy cloppy noises with it. Or, you know, like, yeah, like if it's chocolate, there's some like cute little curls of chocolate. And this one, right. This one just has a big blue Viagra pill on in the picture. And so,
I'm riveted.
so is the rest of the internet. And I couldn't get to the bottom of what exactly the flavor is, because most people who have posted photographs of it were like, look at how, like, look at this weird thing I found. I did not order that flavor.
Right. Makes sense.
This might be conjecture, but I've seen it listed as everything from like a cotton candy flavor to like an anise licorice kind of flavor. One article claims that it contains aphrodisiac herbs, but I cannot substantiate that, and I don't think it's true. It appears to be, or perhaps have been, a recurring flavor starting in the 20-teens at this one gelateria/pizzeria called Mariotti in Rome.
Well, I apologize and I'm thrilled that I sent you down that rabbit hole. Any listeners who can shed some light, you know how to contact us.
yeah, please do. And I will say that something that comes up frequently when this is mentioned is that one time, I believe sometime before, what was it, 2013? Oh, I'm not sure off the top of my head. Anyway, there was at least one time that some dude asked an ice cream maker in the UK if they could put his Viagra into an ice cream.
Ah, so very and specific case.
Yes. So there has been a Viagra ice cream, but it was a specialty one-off. Like, he used the dude's prescription medication to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Take at your own risk.
Yes. Not a medical podcast. No, not us. Also, most ice cream makers, not medical ice cream makers. So,
no, I do not believe so.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
gelato. Let's see what transition this is.
Right? Yeah, no, we're avoiding transitions here. I'm just gonna continue.
Okay.
And say that, yes, the regarding all of these flavoring elements, the ratio of milk to cream to eggs, you know, whatever you're using, to sugar, to other ingredients, is really important in getting the right texture in gelato. And texture is a very important aspect of gelato. And sugars in particular are sort of antifreeze in watery solutions because they prevent the formation of ice crystals, which is what you want to a point in something with that fine, smooth texture like gelato. You don't want to be chunky with ice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So typically the way that it's made is that you will beat together your eggs and sugar if you're using those eggs, then add your flavorings and milk, probably cook it down a bit, perhaps let any flavorings that are in there steep in the liquid overnight. And then remove any of the stuff that's steeping that you don't want in the final mix, and then freeze the liquid using a gelato machine to churn it slowly and gently. And these traditionally have a paddle that moves vertically up and down while the drum rotates, as opposed to if you have an ice cream machine at home, chances are that it has that it'll A, spin faster, and B, have like horizontally situated rotary blades or paddles that introduce more air into the mix there.
Mm-hmm.
Gelato derives from the word for frozen, but it's often served slightly warmer than ice cream. So it's a little bit softer and a little bit more flavorful because it doesn't like numb your tongue. So the result is dense and thick and silky and pretty intensely flavored. Also, y'all, let your ice cream soften a little before serving for the best flavor. Don't eat it straight out of the carton unless that's what you're up to, and I support you.
Unless it's a sad breakup situation, and that's the only way to go.
Oh, well, sure. But you got to admit that the best part of eating ice cream straight out of the carton is the part that's kind of melty or along the edges. It's been warmed by your hands. Yeah,
that's true. You are correct. Once again, Lauren.
Look, I know all about sad ice cream eating.
I could tell you had some strong feelings when you brought this up.
I don't pretend to be an expert in a lot. Oh, no. No, eating ice cream is a happy thing. It doesn't have to be sad. You can be in a great mood, and it can be only improved by eating ice cream straight from the carton. Anyway, you can make gelato yourself. You know, you don't even need a machine. You just need, like, enough of a custard recipe to fill a very well-sealed jar and, like, an empty coffee can or perhaps Tupperware that will fit the jar with room to pack it in with ice. And then you just agitate that for 20 to 30 minutes, and then it's gelato. That's really all you need.
You just, like, agitate it. You, like, kick it around.
You know, you tell it that it really could have had a better writing career if it had gotten some experience first.
Mm-hmm.
No. Either shake it like perhaps you would butter, or the recipe I was reading was like let your kids roll it around on the floor. Yeah, done.
I guess that's key with the well-sealed jar part as well.
Yes. The recipe recommended duct tape.
Ah.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, gosh. And that was an article on the AJC about a local gelato chef whose name I'm forgetting. So apologies to that lovely human person. Of course, as with ice cream, you know, you can go from that very simple recipe all the way up to any number of industrial shortcuts to make gelato more cheaply and quickly by using more modern and processed ingredients or prepackaged mixes. It will result in a little bit of a different texture and flavor. This is sometimes called semi-finished gelato, or the ingredients are called semi-finished products. But it's not all negative. Some Southern Sicilian gelatos more traditionally include some kind of starch as a thickener and stabilizer to make up for the textural properties that you lose when you use those less rich ingredients. And other recipes might include conventional ingredients like honey as a thickener and stabilizer to help prevent the development of large ice crystals and better emulsify the oils and water. I mean, you can make vegan gelato. It's the incredible future. Nothing is stopping you.
Nothing is stopping you. We have faith in you, listeners.
Yeah.
We believe in you.
We do.
Yes.
We do. Gelato can be served in cups or in edible cones. And in Italy and other places where it's popular, it's a pretty common street food served in little disposable cups or those cones that you can walk around with from shops called gelaterias or from street carts. You can also pour espresso or coffee or liquor over it to make an affogato, which comes from the word drowned, which I didn't know. That makes affogato so much more metal than I was aware of.
It is very metal, right? When you're pouring your coffee over your gelato and you're like, ooh,
yes.
It's so tough.
You can use it to make any kind of like frozen dessert concoction that you like, sandwiched in cookies or as a layer in cold cakes. Apparently, a regional Sicilian delicacy involves serving gelato in a split brioche bun.
Ooh.
Sometimes with whipped cream. And that sounds so good. And I want to eat it right now.
Yes. I agree with you. Why can't we have that this very second?
Immediately.
All right. Well, what about the nutrition?
You know, it depends on how you make it. But generally speaking, it's a treat. Treats are nice.
Treats are nice.
Yeah.
And people like them. We do have some numbers for you.
Mm-hmm.
From 2009 to 2014, sales of gelato jumped from $11 million to $214 million. Talenti, the gelato company, came in third place in terms of sales in premium ice cream in 2014 in the U.S., behind like Ben & Jerry's and Häagen-Dazs, I think. So
Yeah. All of those numbers are from the United States, right?
Yes. But Italy is serious about their gelato, which many in that country view as one of the food symbols of Italy. Italy has the most gelato shops in the world with about 37,000, and it has the most artisanal gelato makers. Germany is second and has about 8,000 shops. So that's a huge difference.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And this has been on my mind because recently Italian lawmakers floated a law that would ban pumping gelato with air to make it fluffier. And gelato makers who lean too heavily on artificial flavors, dyes, and hydrogenated fats would also be punished. Under this law, the only ingredients allowed would be eggs, fresh fruit, and, quote, milk and its derivatives. And gelato could only have 30% air. Any violators could be fined up to $12,030 or 10,000 euros. Reports out of Italy suggest that artisanal gelato is made up of about 20 to 30% air achieved by slow mixing. This compared to industrial gelato that relies on compressed air, resulting in a product that can be up to 80% air. So I did see a lot of headlines in the news that, of course, were like, Italy's trying to ban bad gelato or what have you, things like that.
Yeah, they're real protective about it. I mean, you know, being that, right, it is considered one of the kind of symbols of the culture. There is a corporate gelato machine maker that created a gelato university, and it takes some 4,000 students a year at campuses around the world, like I think over 20 locations.
I'd be so excited if I heard a friend was going to gelato university.
Right?
Yes, and there is a Gelato World Cup. It's an international competition that has taken place every few years since 2003. Their website's pretty cool. Yeah, people get into the gelato. It's got kind of an Iron Chef secret ingredient competition, if I'm remembering correctly. So intense stuff.
Yeah, yes. And we do have some, we're not going to say intense, but some pretty good history for you.
Some of it gets a little intense, but yes. And we will get into all this history, intense or otherwise, after a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel. Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressing, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes, unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks, but I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a saver team trip together.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
So, the history of cool iced desserts goes way back, at least 12,000 years ago when enslaved peoples in Mesopotamia would travel great distances, sometimes 100 kilometers or more, about 62 miles, to retrieve snow and ice to chill drinks at royal banquets and religious ceremonies. We talked about that in our episode on ice. Some evidence suggests that people in Asia were consuming flavored ice desserts by at least 3000 BCE. In ancient Egypt and Rome, rulers enjoyed ice flavored with fruit juice, and Italy has a long history of using snow and ice from the Alps to make sweets from items like eggs, milk, cream, sugar, and flavorings, and also of freezing up crushed fruit. So you can already see the seeds of gelato. Yes. Jumping ahead to the 11th century, the Arabs invented a sugar syrup that was used to sweeten things like fruit sorbets, but also in medicines, and yes, ice or snow. This made way for the creation of things like sorbet, which became really popular in Italy while it was under Arab rule. According to some sources, up to 400 types of flowers were used as a flavoring for these early sorbets, which blew my mind because I couldn't list. I don't think I could even list. I mean, 15 might be a stretch. Yes, but that's not my area of expertise, so.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yes. The person who often gets credited with inventing the modern take on gelato is Cosimo Ruggieri. During the late 1500s, he allegedly whipped up the first gelato flavor, fior di latte, which was this creamy, sweet, frozen concoction that he made for the court of the Medici family and the visiting king of Spain. That this was all taking place in Florence, Italy. A few years previously, the Medici family may have introduced something similar to France when Caterina de' Medici requested that this frozen sorbet-like dessert be served at her wedding to the future king of France in 1533. So it gets kind of messy because every episode we say this, but the people have all these stories that I think have been built up of like the exciting origin story, and it gets told and reported on in sources in that country specifically.
And yeah, so, and especially, yeah, like it's complicated when you're talking about an origin story that originated in a language that we both speak.
Right.
In the United States, like a century ago, it gets way more complicated when it's right. Like when the stories are in Italian and it's from the 1500s. So, yeah.
Right. That. Yes. Oh, and speaking of, here's some fun times with pronunciation. I did this to myself. So there are several other names that come up in Gelato's story, too, that don't have much expounding beyond, oh, they did this one thing. So grain of salt with that. There's Bernardo Buttalenti, who was an architect and is said to have invented egg cream gelato, Francesco Redi and Lorenzo Magalotti for popularizing this invention. It wasn't until the opening of Café Le Procope in Paris in 1686 or 1694, I saw both of those dates, by famous Sicilian restaurateur Francesco Procopio de Cotelli, that gelato was available outside of private homes. Due to the high price of ice, prior to this, gelato had been a food for the wealthy mainly. This cafe really helped catapult gelato's popularity. They served their gelato in porcelain cups, which feels very fancy. De Coltelli sometimes gets credit for inventing the gelato machine, but I couldn't confirm that anywhere else. But hey, this cafe is still running and is often called the longest continually operating restaurant in Paris.
Huh.
Yeah. I wonder if I went there when I was in Paris. I probably did. I was really into gelato. It seems like something that would come up when you're searching like gelato. Yeah. Paris.
Like oldest gelato. You're like, I'm there.
Yes. Yeah. How quickly can I get there? A doctor named Filippo Baldini wrote a paper on how he believed that sorbet and gelato were good for your mind and your body in the 19th century. Agreed. several recipes for flavored sorbets started popping up around this time, like strawberry, raspberry, and coffee, for example.
Also in the mid-1800s, gelato started becoming popular as a street food in the warm, low-lying cities surrounding the Italian Alps. The trend possibly started when folks from mountain areas, and perhaps particularly from an area called Zoldo, began traveling down into Venice and cities in Austria and Germany to sell these cold desserts out of carts during the warm months. Then in the early 1900s, Italian immigration to the United States brought some gelato recipes along with the immigrants, including what would become rum raisin here, which was very popular during Prohibition.
Yeah.
There you go.
I can see. Why? I went on several mini rabbit holes that I had to cut off quickly of like, what is the history of stracciatella or like every flavor? Like, stop it.
Yeah.
But that's interesting. with improving technology, the 20th century is when we get innovations like the cone, which another episode I got really excited by that
too. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. and the automatic ice cream machine, which was invented in the U.S. but in 1904 by Emery Thompson, and the motorized batch freezer. Bruno Carpigiani improved the gelato machine in Bologna, Italy in the 1940s, making it quicker, more efficient, and cleaner. To this day, Carpigiani is the biggest producer of gelato-making machines. This allowed gelato makers to flourish and really experiment with those flavors and toppings. Street vendors in Rome started selling gelato in a cup or cone, pushing their mobile gelato carts through the streets in the 1920s.
Around this time was, right, also when artificial ice became much more of a thing that was widely commercially available. And so a consumer could perhaps bring some home and not eat it immediately. Although by all accounts, you are supposed to eat it pretty much immediately.
I agree with that as well.
Then, in 1979, Italy's International Dessert and Coffee Trade Show, acronym SIGEP, S-I-G-E-P. Sure, that's when they started up. Gelato is one of its main pillars, alongside pastry, chocolate, coffee, and baked goods. And this trade show is still going. It has been online the past couple of years due to COVID-19. Their theme for their Summer Observatory of 2021 is that artisan gelato is a spa for the palate.
A spa for the palate.
Yeah, yeah. It's all kind of takes on like nutritionally sound gelatos.
Oh, that's different. I thought it was just kind of like ad copy you'd read on the back of a gelato, where you're like, I'm not sure what that means, but it sounds nice.
It's talking about more like whole fruits with like nutritive properties and stuff like that. I don't know. It seems great. It seems great.
When a McDonald's opened near Rome's Spanish Steps in the 1980s, a man named Carlo Petrini created the Slow Food Organization to focus on local recipes and ingredients, traditional cooking methods, things like that. And out of that came a group of gelato makers determined to use local, fresh, seasonal ingredients. I assume the spa for the palate thing. and traditional methods while avoiding the use of artificial colors, dyes, and stabilizers to make what they dubbed gelato artigianale naturale, which is still kind of that thing we were talking about with the law proposed earlier. Yeah. Like you can see that ongoing.
2003 is when that gelato machine maker, Carpigiani, opened its first gelato university. In Italy, it is, yes, since opened 20 satellite campuses around the world.
And in 2012, a gelato museum opened outside of Bologna at Carpigiani's headquarters. And let me just say, a lot. I've learned a lot about some interesting food museums in the past few weeks, and I'm excited to continue to share them. But, ooh. Yes.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
In 2013, a number of Italian food production and research groups came together to form this very specific research and development center called the Center on Handcrafted Gelato, acronym CIRGA? Kriga? Kriga in Italian? C-R-I-G-A? Yeah, they've been researching just a number of chemical, physical, biological, and technological aspects of gelato and gelato making, such as how incorporating alternative sweeteners, both non-sugar and less usual formulations of sugar, can change your final product, how the use of alternative fats like sunflower oil can affect things, the use of various emulsifiers like pea protein and rice protein, all sorts of stuff. And Carpigiani is also working that technical angle. As of 2018, they started showing off at the aforementioned trade show, a machine like a smart gelato machine that can monitor the development of ice crystals in gelato liquid and adjust its settings to let you achieve a good consistency, even with like really strange mixes of ingredients, like very low sugar content. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I love all this serious innovation in the gelato space.
Right? Yes. Right? Gelato of the future.
And one day in our future, Lauren, I hope that we can get some happy gelato, not the sad kind of gelato.
Not the sad gelato. No, let's get the happy gelato.
Let's do it. I'm in. But in the meantime, I guess that's what we have to say about gelato for now.
It is. We do have some listener mail for you.
We do, but first we have one more quick break for a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressing, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks, but I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a saver team trip together.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with Listener. It's kind of a spa, cool, refreshing vibe. And then that was spinning.
Oh,
the
okay,
arm
okay.
motion was spinning.
Okay, yeah. And then the scoop
and
at the end.
The scoop at the end.
Yeah.
It's very rare that one of my listener mail jingles actually does make me hungry for the. But I was really sad at the end. There was
gelato
no
actual gelato that you were scooping. Yeah, I was sad as well. I mean, also we're over the internet right now. So even if you did have gelato that you were scooping right now, I would still be a little bit sad. But
it's true. And that's the sad gelato we're trying to avoid.
The imaginary type, yes.
Yes. Manon or Manon wrote, I hope I am getting that close to correct. Hey, from Oconee County, South Carolina, once again. Just listened to the ep on muscadines and want to share some of my family's linguistics. My great aunt always called muscadines fox grapes. I'm not sure if this was common in this area or all over. When she made homemade wine, she called it foxy. Legend has it some foxy even made it into communion at the Methodist church my family attends. Around here, grape juice is the norm. Also, most people pronounce the A as more of an IE sound, like musky dines. So when I was little, I called them monkey dines. The description y'all said of summer bombs seemed extremely apt.
Aww.
Maybe this is your sleeper cell area, Lauren.
Yeah, you know,
this
was
a conversation had off podcast, but Lauren's got a strange pronunciation, like how I pronounce Basil. We're trying to figure out where it comes from.
Except Basil is a word that's how some people pronounce Basil.
Yes.
I kept saying gelato.
Yes. And we can't
and
figure
I'm not
out
sure
what accent.
Where anyone would possibly say gelato.
If you know, listeners, write in.
Oh, geez.
Yes. But I love foxy. I think I have heard fox grapes because it's like foxes eat them or something. I think I've heard this before, but foxy is a fantastic name for some homemade wine.
Yes. I feel like it's descriptive of the wine and also what you might be like after you've consumed some of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Nicole wrote, I'd like to suggest mulberries and pawpaws as topics. I grew up with a mulberry tree that didn't produce a lot of fruit, but I moved to my own house this year and was delighted to find a very healthy and productive mulberry tree of my own. I'm gathering and freezing enough berries to try my hand at jam. A local forager also posted on Instagram that you can use mulberry leaves as a matcha substitute. That same forager also mentioned pawpaws recently, which were something I knew about in name only, but would have guessed that they were more tropical. I've been taking more notice of native plants, especially because someone decided it was a good idea to plant honeysuckle in Ohio, and I've quickly learned to hate it with a burning passion.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Invasive honeysuckle. Oh.
Yeah. I love honeysuckle, but yeah, it wasn't in my yard. It was if I went for a walk down the street, I could find some. And I thought it was the coolest thing that there's just flower and you could like suck at the end and get a sweet taste.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, same. Mulberries. The last house that I was in, had a number of mulberry trees in the yard. And I think I still have like a freezer bag full of mulberries that I've been meaning to do something with. They were so good. Like I just loved I spent a lot of last summer kind of like walking around the backyard of this place because I couldn't go anywhere else and just like picking mulberries, and like people would come over and I would just be like, you know, like standing like 10 feet away from them and
being like, do you want some yard berries? Like, what's going on?
Yard berries.
Yeah.
I always thought mulberries were made up. I thought it was like a...
What?
Yeah. I thought they were like a fantastical, like they like were a, like British a Willy fairy Wonka tales. Thing? Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's like so, snozzberries. Yeah.
Yeah, this is news to me.
No, they grow here. They're right here in Georgia.
Wow. It's too bad I didn't get to sample any of your yard berries. Maybe if you find some, let me know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. Thanks to both of those listeners for writing in. If you would like to write to us, we would love to hear from you. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod, and we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard, with a special thank you today to Max Williams. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com, that's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.